Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, along with Ted Ross, and looking forward to a conversation today as we talk about the church in hard places. You know, early church theologian Tertullian is quoted as saying, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." And Ted, I just came across an article from Christianity Today that addressed that statement, and they found that persecution initially harms churches because it interrupts networks and prompts immigration. But given that in times of persecution, people choose what they believe and refine their faith, he said persecution can boost church numbers once suffering is ended. And Todd Nettleton from Voice in the Martyr says, it's sort of a chicken and egg question. The church grows, so there are more Christians to be persecuted, and so there's more persecution. So the church keeps growing because the way that persecution purifies the church.
The cyclical thing there, yeah. Well, what it does, in my opinion, I think, is it kind of weeds out the C and E Christians, as we call them, you know, the Christmas and Easter attenders and not really walkers of the faith or people that live it out. But that's an interesting concept.
And what we're clearly seeing is that the men and women in churches that are in hard places, like Baghdad, Iraq, where we're going to focus our time today, at least have courage and have amazing courage. Today we're going to meet a man with no fear who actually, you know, doesn't fear. He's actually lived through some of the worst that we can imagine. This past week, I had an opportunity to sit down with the pastor of one of the few remaining churches in Baghdad and heard his story, and it's going to come up today on Connecting Faith.
Really brings the passage to light. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It really, really is, because that's really all they have in some cases.
I want to just encourage you to listen in for this powerful testimony of Pastor Joseph Francis. And it reminded me, once again, that, you know, so much of the conflict of the world is certainly in the parts of the Arab world centered around religious conviction. But through these acts of terror, many Muslims are questioning their religion and they're seeking Jesus. And radio is one of the amazing ways that people are discovering they're hearing the truth of God's word.
They really are. And the visions, they're having dreams and things. I have a missionary friend that's in the Middle East right now and pray for him every day. And he says it's amazing how God is moving there.
God is moving some powerful ways. You'll hear the story coming up in a moment. But we think about religious conflict. And we got a word from John Stone Street today on The Point that talks about, you know, the religious viewpoints. And then stay tuned. You'll meet Pastor Joseph Francis from Baghdad coming up in just a minute.
Are all religions basically the same? For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. You may have heard that Eastern story about the six blind men who encounter an elephant. The first touches its side and says, well, an elephant is like a wall. Another one touches the trunk and says, no, an elephant is like a snake. The third touches its tusk and says, an elephant is like a spear. Another one touches the leg and says, no, an elephant is like a tree. Another one touches an ear. No, an elephant, he says, is like a fan. And then touching the tail, the sixth one says, you're all wrong. An elephant is like a rope. And who was right? Everyone, we're told, just like everyone is right in their own view about God. But in reality, none of the men were right about the elephant. And as Trevin Wax at the Gospel Coalition points out, the parable contradicts the very point it's trying to make by assuming that the one telling the parable sees the whole elephant. This story is just another claim to be right and everyone else being wrong. With today's point, I'm John Stone Street.
Well, today on Connecting Faith, we have the opportunity to meet a brother in Christ who's serving in an area where it is not easy. At least we'll find out. But God is on the move and at work in Baghdad, Iraq. And we meet today Pastor Joseph Francis, who's pastor of Jesus is the Light of the World Church in Baghdad. He's married with two children. We're going to hear a bit about his conversion story and started serving in 1999, became president of the Alliance Churches in Iraq in 2011. And with that, I think we'll just jump in. He's in studio today because he was in the area for a missions conference, and we're just honored to make the connection. Pastor Joseph, welcome.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
You're serving as the pastor at Jesus is Light of the World Church in Baghdad. Maybe before we get your story, just say a little bit about the church. Obviously, all of Iraq, it seems like, has been in upheaval. So how is the church doing today?
Well, first I want to say hi to each one who hear us now. And thank you for having me here in the radio station. Thank you very much. And I want to thank you to introduce me. And first I want to say sorry about my English. It's not very, very good. It's comme ça, comme ça.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Yeah. And the church in Baghdad, it started in 2003, the Alliance Church in Baghdad. And we put a big address upon the church under the cross. Jesus is the light of the world from 2003 after Saddam's regime fall down. Mm. And we start from that time serving our Lord in this very special city in Iraq, in Baghdad. And you heard many news from Fox News, BBC, CNN about what's about the problems and the situation, bad situation in Iraq, Baghdad. But today, I'm here to share with you about what God doing. Another news, not negative, positive news about what God doing in this time in Baghdad, especially after 2014 when ISIS attacked Mosul. There is many Muslims start asking, and when they saw through us ISIS the ugly face of Islam, and they discovered there is some verses in Quran they didn't discover before, but ISIS let this verses or this suffix from Quran be appear, but what they are did in Mosul, the Muslims in Iraq, in all Iraq, especially in Baghdad, they start asking, is this the true God? Is this the religion from God? And our church in Baghdad from 2014 opened the doors for this nation, for this Muslim brothers and sisters, and we start answered them, he is not the true God. The true God is Jesus Christ, the truth and the way and the life. This time, it's time to share the gospel with these people. And the darkness of this ISIS, of these things, what they are doing, let the people shocked. No persecution like that. Because of that, they start this technology, this social media. The Muslims, they are start asking about the truth. Before, it was not easy to search, to seek, to listen. Now it's so easy in the social media. You have the answer directly, like a piece of cake. And they are listening, they are seeking, and the church answering them. And we have now many Muslims come to Christ, even imams of mosques. They are became converted to Christianity, and I have a brothers from the Grace Church visited us, and they saw that by their own eyes when they was in my church last April.
We're grateful that God is at work and that there are answers to these important questions. I want to find out, Pastor Joseph, a bit about your story, because as I understand, it wasn't that many years ago when you came to follow Christ. Tell us a bit about that journey.
Yeah. Before I came to Christ, I'm just sharing a friend to me. I was a famous Iraqi singer. Yeah. And you know, this community of artists and art is a very dirty community. Mm. Daily I have parties and I have friends, and we made many sins. And when I finish the parties and back home, just when I put my head on my pillow, I just start crying about what I did and who will take all this my sins. One day, a friend of mine, he invited me to go to a church in Baghdad, and I entered the church, but I'm just not full satisfied to be there, but I'm entered the church there, and I heard a testimony of someone, Jesus Christ, changed his life. After the sermon, I went out, and a brother, he saw me in the area of the church, in the garden of the church, and he told me, nice to meet you. It's your first time here in the church. I told him, look, I'm the most sinner in all the world. He told me, okay, come tomorrow to my home to drink some tea. I said, what this answer? next day I went to his home and he asked me, what's your problem? I told him, when I should, I have many sins. And I do everything to save myself, pay money, helping poor families, feeding them. I want to do anything that to save myself. He told me, you don't need to do anything. Just believe in Jesus Christ. He hold all your sins on his cross. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I started crying, and I'm born again in that day, to 26th of August, 1998. Yeah. And also I was a chemical engineer department, and I have a friend that I invited. I usually invited them with me in the nightclubs. One day, one of them, he told me, will we go to the nightclub this night? I told him, no, I will not go anymore. I told him why. I told him because I became a Christian. He started laughing and he left me, and he leave me forever because I become a Christian.
Did it make sense to you from your, you know, the weight of your sin, as you said, you were well aware of that, but did it make sense that Jesus would carry all that sin on the cross? Did it, what part kind of connected with you?
You know, it's touched my heart. Mm. For why? Mm. I'm not deserve that. Yeah. Really, I'm just dust. I'm nothing. But the answer was the love. Yeah. God's loved me so much, and he sent his son for me to save me. You know, I can't imagine I can do it if someone, I have a son, his name is Jonathan, and let my son die for anyone. I can't do it. But God did, by Jesus Christ. He let his son die on the cross to save me, to save someone like me. I really am not. I'm not deserve to do. God did this with, but this is his love, his kind of love, his agape. Yeah.
Talking today with Pastor Joseph Francis. Joseph is the pastor of Jesus is the Light of the World Church in Baghdad, Iraq, and he's just been telling us his story about receiving the free gift of salvation. And he's been serving the church. The church started in 03, and we're going to hear more about that in the moments ahead. Also talk about, you know, what God is doing in Iraq and across the Middle East and the Persian Gulf, and how, you know, brothers and sisters are living out their faith in challenging circumstances. All that's coming up in just the next few minutes here on Connecting Faith. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we're honored today to have in studio Joseph Francis, pastor of Jesus, the Light of the World Church in Baghdad, Iraq. You've heard his testimony, his story, a former singer who experienced God's grace. Was there an immediate desire on your part to say, you know, I need to start serving the church, telling others? Kind of what happened from that day in 1998?
Yeah, first I start reading the Bible. And in maybe 4 weeks, 1 month, I finished the New Testament reading daily. I start eating because, you know, I shocked how much Jesus loved me, and I love all the people. I start loving each one, sinners, Muslims, my neighbors, everyone. Jesus touched my heart inside, and in 1999 I start serving in the church before I became full-time ministry. Yeah. In the Alliance Church, I start serving in the youth meetings. In 2003, I was full ministry with the Alliance Church in Baghdad as a youth pastor, and start serving among the youth from 2003 until my ordination in 2009 as assistant pastor.
Are the youth in a city like Baghdad feeling discouraged, hopeless? Are they looking for answers?
That's right.
Talk about that.
Yeah. The youth in Baghdad at that time, it was, you know, 2003, we are just finished the war, and Saddam's regime fall down. In 2003, 4, 5, it was very, very dark time in Baghdad because, you know, start Sunnis killing Shias, Shia killing Sunnis, terrorists, Qaeda, Abu Mus'ab al-Zarqawi. There's many, many bad challenges challenge us as the pastors and the churches in Iraq. You know, daily we have about 15 explosions in Baghdad, many of youth killed, many of families. It was very dark time. But the church still have the hope and the faith to share the good news. And most of the people start coming to the church seeking peace, the true peace. And the church opened the doors for them and share with them about the peace of God that never you can't even imagine how much the peace of God will change your life and change your heart.
You know, we hear stories about the bombings, those things. I mean, it's hard to imagine what it's like to live day to day. Say a little bit about that. I mean, are you going to the market or going to church? I mean, going home? I mean, do you feel threatened at all times? Just what is life like day to day?
Maybe I can share my testimony. Yeah. I have a special testimony. It's this testimony changed my life completely. And this testimony let me decided to stay in Baghdad. Okay, a brother, in 2007, in January, 21 of January, I have a car, and it's a Grand Marcos Mercury car, American car. It's the model is 1992. And I ride my car in my way to the church. In 2007, January 2007, the terrorist put a bomb under my car. And I was driving. When I became close to the church, the terrorist bullet my car. Bomb. My car explosion, big explosion. My car completely damaged. And I was inside the car, driving the car. Each part of my car, it's damaged completely, and I lost my sight about few seconds. And I start hearing voices outside my car. They said, oh, there's a young guy in this car, he's died. Women's and men's shouting out of my car in the streets. And suddenly the sight came back, and I just opened the door. And walking in the street, running in the street, I catch someone, a guy in the street. I told him, just tell me, is there something happening to my face, to my legs, to my hands? He said, no, nothing. You know what happening to me? Just a few glasses in my hair. I just remove it. I believe in that time, God with me, Jesus with me. No one can be alive. You are inside the explosion. They bullet your car. No one can live in this kind of explosion. But God was with me. His angels around me. He saved me to be in the, he told me, I'm with you. Keep on. From that time, I decided not to leave Baghdad, to stay. All my family now, they are immigrate to Sweden, but I'm staying there. Daily, weekly, they are calling me, come, why you are staying in Baghdad? Why? It's very bad situation. But it's God calling. When God calling, enter your heart. And you decided to obey him, you should stay in his will. You know, brother, in each place in all the world, you can serve the Lord. In each place in all the world, there's churches, there's ministry, but you should be usable by him. Not each place that God will use you as he wants. There's big difference between serve him and he use you. Big difference. I'm in Baghdad, and I believe that God used me in my city with my people, and the fruits is the answer. The fruits in our church is the answer.
Because a word gets out, doesn't it, pretty quickly that, Pastor Joseph, I mean, God's angels were clearly surrounding you. I mean,
yes.
Suddenly you have a platform like no other.
Yes. Yeah. It's additional time to live, to serve him. Yeah. This testimony, God took all the fears from my heart. Mm. Nothing will threaten me now. I'm in Baghdad since that time, serving, sharing gospel. How it is happening? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fill my heart. I will full of Jesus' love to love these people. And this is what we are praying all the time in the church, to love these people, to open doors, to answer them, to help them, to stand with them. Because, you know, when they become a Christian, they will lose everything. It's very costly for the Muslim to become a Christian. To love them, to be a family, to surround him, to stand with him, to take care of him. It's need a special grace and special love. No one can do it. Just Jesus Christ. If you fill of his spirit in your heart. Do you know what we did now in our church in Baghdad? I went to the Baghdad governor. I told him, I want a permission from you to put a stages in some streets in Baghdad and some parks, stages and a pulpit, and start sharing the people. He told me, what you will do with the stages and the puppets in the streets, Pastor Joseph? I told him, ISIS make the image of God very ugly. And we want to clear this image. Can you let us do that? He told me, sure. he couldn't recognize that I am meaning that Jesus Christ is the image of God. And we are now doing that under the permission of the governor of Baghdad and sharing Muslims in the streets this good news about Jesus Christ. And this governor, he is attend our church, and he born again and attend our church, not regularly, but he is coming to the church.
Good. And is there, as you said right at the outset, that, you know, when ISIS attacked here in 2014, especially, that suddenly people were asking even more questions. Say, can this possibly be true religion? Is there a willingness to listen, or is there skepticism, or is there anger for you sharing the name of Jesus?
No. You know, I told many of my friends here in the States, ISIS serve the Lord in a very perfect way. How? He led the people seeking the truth. And when you have the truth, they are just listening because they are already seeking. They are already looking for the book or the truth, the true God. So you have the answer. And when you are seeking the answer, you will listen. You will not refuse or be anger. You will listen. And I have the truth. So let me share with you the truth. This is what's happening now.
We're talking today with Pastor Joseph Francis, who's a pastor of Jesus' Light of the World Church in Baghdad, Iraq. He has served there started serving in 1999 and then became president of the Alliance Churches in Iraq in 2011, has survived bombing and amazing stories, and we're going to hear more about what God is doing in Iraq and how we can pray. We'll do that in the moments ahead as we continue here on Connecting Faith. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we're honored today to have in studio with us Joseph Francis, pastor of Jesus' Light of the World Church in Baghdad, Iraq. They have a partnership with Grace Church Eden Prairie, and he is in for their missions conference. We had an opportunity to have him in studio just to share his story. Joseph, you said your family has gone to Sweden, understandably. Many others have left as well.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, the Christian population has dramatically dropped in Iraq. Does that make it especially challenging to keep church, I guess, in operation? Because, you know, your your prayer covering, your support, your funding, all those things.
Yeah. You know, brother, there is, yeah, that's right. There is many Christians. They left Iraq, immigrate out of Iraq to America, here in the United States, in Canada, Australia, Sweden, many, many countries. But you know what God did? God let new bloods enter his kingdom, his church. Now, till now, when we are start 2003, the church is full. About 400 people attend Sunday's ministry. Till now, the church is full. New generation, new people. You know, God, he never make any mistake. And everything under his control. Yeah. He want these people saved. So let some of the believers immigrate, and there is new believers come, and the church, it's doing well. Yeah.
How can we most effectively pray for, you know, not only you, but the members of your church, for the entire nation of Iraq?
Yeah. We went to pray for the church in Iraq, in Baghdad, to give us as a church a wisdom. And why wisdom? Wisdom to share the gospel, not without out of control, no, but under a control of the Holy Spirit. So pray for us to God gave us a wisdom to serve our nation, Muslim people, and also to pray for the Muslim families. They come to Christ. You know, many of these families, they lost everything. Pray for us to help them, to stand with them, because some of them, they lost their jobs, their families, their all relations. They just have the church. Pray for us to bless them as much as we could. Also, their children. You know, brother, in Iraq, just I want to share this with the people who can hear me now. You know, all these families, they have kids, and they are attending to school, going to school. You know, these kids, now they are confusion. Why? Because they are coming to the church. They are studying Bible, Sunday school. But, you know, in Iraq, you can't change your ID. Muslim, he can't change his ID. Still, his ID is Muslim. And when they are going to the school, they start reading Quran. Some of these kids, they came to their parents. Are we Muslims or Christian now? So it's big challenge, big challenge. We need to help these families. Maybe start schools, not studying religion or something like that. I don't know. Really, I don't know. But pray for this. There is a new community. Come to our church. It's not normal community. They came from another background. We need to let them be comfortable, because when you are Muslim and become a Christian, it's mean. Anytime they will kill you because you left Islam and Muhammad. It's costly. As a Muslim, become a Christian, it's not easy. Not like us as from Christian backgrounds. Muslim, to become a Christian, it's costly. The cost, it's his life or his family life. We want, as a church, to pray for us, that we can help them, stand with them as much as we could.
Joseph, just say more about maybe what dealing with that fear. You said, you know, fear is gone in your heart, but certainly it must be prevalent of those that maybe are still there, and those that even come. Do we dare invite Jesus to learn more about him? You know, how do we overcome fear in a situation in a place like Baghdad?
Yeah, you know, brother, I want to be honest, so honest with you. When the ISIS entered Iraq in 2014, they attacked Mosul. And you know, there is a big refugees, Christian refugees. They go out from Mosul, went out from Mosul to Erbil. And also most of them, they came to Baghdad. You know, brother, the church in Baghdad, they shocked, and there is a fear inside their hearts. The leaders, the whole people in the church, they shocked what happening to the people in Mosul, and they are just be afraid if the ISIS enter Baghdad and made the same thing with the Christian in Mosul, but you know, brother, they start asking me, we are afraid, what we can do. I told them, I can't answer any question. Let me go and pray. And I went to my room and locked my door and started praying. I won't answer. So, you know, God is so good. He answered me from Acts chapter 4, verse 29. When his disciples also under the persecution, you know what they said? Look to their persecution, yeah. And let us. I know I don't share the verse in in the same words, sure. But I will share the idea what they said in Acts chapter 4:29. Look to their threaten. And let your disciples share the gospel and touch the people by healing them. When I read what the disciples said in the first time of the church, God told me, it's not the persecution. It's not a strange thing for the church. It's normal. The church everywhere persecuted in each century, in each time, the church under the persecution. You should pray. Now this is the time for the prayer. You should let the people in your church pray, and I will take off all the fears from the church heart just to pray. I'm listening. I'm seeing they're threatened. Don't be afraid. Keep on. Share the gospel. It's time to open your church for the nation, for the Muslim. And that's what's happening. God did exactly what he said. And also there is Jesus. He was a refugee when he was 2 years ago. You remember the story when Herodias wanted to kill him? And there is a dream to Joseph. Told him, take him to Egypt. He was the first refugee in the New Testament. So he feel us because he was a refugee before. And he know what's the meaning of the threaten because Herodias threatened him and his mom and his and Joseph. So he understand our feeling. He feel his passion with us. And he lead us to keep on. And don't care about anything. I will help you, stand with you. And that was, I remember till now, 2014, God touched my heart and touched the church. I start a prayer meetings, overnight prayers, small group prayers, cell groups prayers, main prayer meeting in the church. And you know what? God did a miracles with the peoples. And many Muslims came, and God touch their heart, and they born again. God is so good, brother.
Amen. To speak with boldness, as that you know, the church in Acts is, and Lord, give us boldness to and we see that happening in Pastor Joseph's life and the church in Baghdad, and really in many places around the globe where there is opposition, but God is doing great work. I'm interested. You've been here in the States a bit. What is a worship service like at Jesus is the Light of the World Church compared to maybe what you experience here? I'm sure that when people come to your church that they are committed to really worshiping.
You know, brother, God prepared the church for these days, and we have a very very nice worship prayer choir and team and players in our church, and they are serve the Lord under a special anointed, and the people touched when they are coming to the church. You know, they saw the clapping, jumping, laughing, everything. It's different than the community has. The community has hopeless, no peace. Yeah. And they came to the church, they start crying when they saw there is a people like them, but they have a special kind of joy, of peace, of hope, of love, of everything, of love. Why you are different? Not we are different, but he is different. Yeah. The one who we are follow him, he is different. Not like what you are follow him.
We could learn a lot from our brothers and sisters in Christ in Baghdad. If we looked at just the news reports, we'd say, well, is it going to get worse before it gets better? But how do you sort of face each day? Do you kind of follow the news reports, and does that kind of affect your attitude, your outlook?
Yeah, I should know the news, because to know the news let me how to pray.
Yeah.
And also, I should know the news because I want to know what's the next step. Daily, I have a news from channels, Iraqi channels, American channels. I should know what's going, not just in Iraq, not just in Iraq, in all the world. You know, sometimes when I heard the news in all the world, I see in my heart it's the end days. Everything is gone. So it's let me be more godly, make me pray for these days, for people, to make me work more to save these people from the hell. Yeah, I should have an idea about the news and what's going on in my country and in all the world.
I know that you have a partner relationship here with Eden Prairie Grace Church, but there are maybe others listening say, well, is there something that I could do that would be most effective? Obviously, we want to be praying for you and believers there and for Muslims that are seeking truth, but are there ways that we can maybe be more engaged or more involved? What would be most effective?
Yeah, I will say it again. We are now in Baghdad. We need a prayer. A real prayer, and people stand with the church in Baghdad. Why? Because we are in very special time now. Everything is opening. Mm. And maybe this time it will not be a long time. We need to use this time for His glory. Maybe, I don't know why, we need to help Muslim families. We need to find another kind of life for them, for these families. They came to schools, maybe to help them to have a jobs, or stand with them for long term. I don't know how much it will be. We are now in a revival time. I can see that. And I can't say that. We are in a revival time. Many Muslims come to Christ. And it's time to do something as a church, not just prayer. Everything that you want to do, maybe it will make different. For a poor family, for a refugee's family, for a Muslim family, pray. And God will guide you how to work with the church in Baghdad.
Our honor today to have spent some time with Pastor Joseph Francis from Jesus' Light of the World Church in Baghdad, Iraq. We just ask that God would continue to protect and bless and give you courage as you lead this congregation. So,
amen.
Thank you. And as you said right at the outset, that your goal is to kind of clean up the light a little bit, that the face of God needs to be cleaned, and the world needs to see it as Jesus, the light of the world.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That we want to share with the people. He's the truth. He's the life. He is the way.
Joseph Francis joining us here today on Connecting Faith, pastor of Jesus, Light of the World Church in Baghdad, Iraq. Well, coming up, we're going to continue our focus on Iraq, and particularly Christians there that are suffering in many ways, and some of the aid organizations that are working to help strengthen and support these refugees and those that are holding on to their homes and holding on to their faith. We're going to hear from Mindy Bells. Mindy is editor of World Magazine and has traveled the world writing for World, particularly about what's happening in the Persian Gulf and the Middle East. And she has a book out called They Say We Are Infidels, On the Run from ISIS with Persecuted Christians in the Middle East. You want to hear highlights of that interview coming up in a moment here on Connecting Faith. Listening to Connecting Faith. Over the past few minutes, we've heard the powerful story of Joseph Francis, who pastors in Baghdad, Iraq, with courage and conviction, and his congregation as well, standing strong in the midst of persecution. And God is doing a great work. And as he said, God has prepared the church for such a time as this. These are difficult times, and the church is facing persecution across Iraq and other spots around the Middle East and the Persian Gulf. And we want to get an update from Mindy Bells next. Mindy is editor of World Magazine and has written about the persecuted church in a book called They Say We Are Infidels, on the run from ISIS with persecuted Christians in the Middle East. We'll hear more about why this is happening and how we, as brothers and sisters in Christ in the West, can be engaged with fellow believers across the Middle East. Is there progress being made, you think, in this fight against ISIS and in a recognition that Christians need to be protected as well?
There is progress being made, military progress being made against ISIS. So that's a really good thing. And, you know, an interesting side story is that one of the groups that I've been following, one of the groups listed on that page of aid groups, Preemptive Love Coalition, great Christian aid organization, was the first humanitarian aid organization in there, and they just recently went again and delivered 100,000 pounds of food. I think what we're seeing as we see these areas liberated is just what a long road this is, because the people who have been trying to survive under ISIS rule are brutalized. They have been held in horrible conditions, and a number of them are facing starvation even. And the trauma, particularly the trauma for women who've been captured and trafficked and held as sex slaves and sold and things like that, is a problem of a generation. It's a problem that will continue for years. And there are just a number of good organizations in this area that where it's a very hard place to work, and not many groups actually do it. And they don't stay very long if they do because of the challenges. But the ones who have stayed are doing amazing work and really making a difference.
I remember in the book you recount a story of a pastor or just someone who had taken aid, was collecting aid, and suddenly became a target. This is, you know, what, half a dozen years ago, because they knew that he had the money. And so kidnapping for ransom has become kind of a way of life for many.
Right. And we actually began the book with his kidnapping and then came back to it later, because one of the things that I think we haven't fully appreciated here is the way in which Christians, by virtue of the fact that they did not have political clout, did not have sort of upper cultural influence, they became likely targets. They were, in fact, people who generally had good businesses and were stable and you know, had collected themselves, you might say, into communities where they were prospering. And so it was easy for the Islamic militants, starting with Al-Qaeda in Iraq and then moving forward to ISIS, easy to target them, easy to kidnap them and demand ransom. And I interviewed family after family who had tried to collect $30,000, $50,000, $150,000, in order to ransom their loved ones. And this is something that we weren't dealing with. This is something that, you know, if you try to picture it happening in the United States, we would have law enforcement engaged, we would have, you know, SWAT teams, we would have a real multi-level response to this sort of thing. And it just, there simply was no organized response to protect the Christians.
Give us a sense of what a family of believers would live like from day to day in one of these areas. Where are they listening for the news every day? I mean, as fighting gets closer, they've got contingency plans.
Well, you have about 250,000 Christians who have been displaced, and they have been some for longer than 2 years, but most of the ones I'm referring to have been since ISIS came into the country in the summer of 2014. I've met those people. Some of them have been able to relocate into apartments. Some of them are still living in refugee camps. Met with a number who were living in a high-rise building that was supposed to be a hotel, but it was not completed, and it's now housing hundreds of refugee families or displaced families. And I met with a number of Christian families living on the top floors of a shopping mall in downtown Erbil, which is the largest city in the north. So they've taken refuge wherever they can. And, you know, it's in some cases the men in the family have made very dangerous journeys to go back to the cities that were overtaken by ISIS. They've tried to get in to see if there's anything to salvage from their homes. Most of them had to leave at the point of a gun, really just forced out ISIS has made a habit of coming into these kinds of areas at night, waking people up. People are disoriented. They find themselves leaving their homes before they've had any time to prepare or actually take stock of what's happening to them. People would pull out their cell phones and show me what they left behind or show me what it was like to escape, show me the roads that were being blown up or houses, buildings that were being destroyed, that kind of thing. One girl that I spent some time with, she's 18 years old. She and her family had to flee Mosul. It was very terrifying. She thought that she was going to be captured by ISIS. She found out subsequently that a number of her friends had been. She pulled out her cell phone for me and pulled up one picture of her as a young girl, about a three-year-old, on a tricycle. And she said, "This is the only thing I have left of my childhood. It's a picture that I posted on Facebook, and now it's all I have." So those are the kinds of situations that they're living in day to day. They also are finding ways to move forward, you know, to men finding work, men coming together to buy a car and share it among their families. A number of families are actually living together. It's not unusual to go into a two-bedroom apartment and find two families living there, and this might be families of 8 or 10 people. And they're making do, and they're making the best of it.
Talk about, you mentioned a couple on worldmag.com website. There's a button that you can click on for aid for Iraqis. But talk about maybe how you pray for the people that you met, how we could pray. What is most effective that we can do?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that we can pray boldly and we can pray with hope, because I have seen how the Iraqis do that themselves, that they really have such a wonderful trust in Christ as their Savior and God as their hope, and their hope for the future and their hope for their children, and also that they have real deep dependence on one another, and they don't hesitate. This is a wonderful Arab hospitality is a wonderful thing to behold, and the way that Iraqi Christians take care of one another is something that I've learned so much from. So I think that we can pray as they pray, and then we can also, you know, recognize that there are daily these organizations that are bringing needed food and services, education. We talked about medical services. I know a number of medical teams that are just in and out of Iraq all the time, filling the gaps in these situations where you don't have where medical care has been severed in some way. And so we can pray for the people who are actually going and serving. And then I think that a number of these organizations represent opportunities for people to really pray about whether they should go and serve, whether this isn't an opportunity where God in his sovereignty and wisdom isn't bringing together people in the West and East, people who've grown up in many different traditions and under many different circumstances, whether this isn't now a time of learning from them and also helping them at the same time.
Mindy Bells is editor of World Magazine, and she's written the book, They Say We Are Infidels, On the Run from ISIS with Persecuted Christians in the Middle East. Mindy has covered wars in Africa, the Balkans, Afghanistan, and the Middle East, and reported on the persecuted church for many years. And as she mentioned, there is a tab on the worldmag.com website that will link you to aid organizations working specifically in Iraq. Go to worldmag.com, and on the toolbar at the top, you'll see aid for Iraq. And you can click on that tab and find a number of great agencies that are working, providing real relief for our brothers and sisters in Christ there. You want to hear the full interview I had with Mindy Bells? You can find that on the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. And you'll also want to listen to Pastor Joseph Francis as well, hear that interview again, and maybe pass it on to a friend. Again, you can find it all online at myfaithradio.com, then click on the Connecting Faith show page to find the podcast archives. And thank you for listening to Connecting Faith.